Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. Tonight, we're going to do an episode that we haven't done in close to 2 years, I think you said. And it seems December to be, we're going to break it out a little differently, but.
Yeah.
So like a year and a half.
Today, we're going to talk about the best new off-roaders and overlanders that you can not necessarily walk into a dealership and buy, because the market is still the way the market is. But the best 4x4s and wheeling vehicles that are out there. And the last time we did this was December of 21. So things have changed. And we also did...
Really?
We focused primarily on used back then. So we're going to break this out today. We're going to focus on new. And we'll record another episode and talk about used. Because everybody knows...
Has the used market changed?
God, it's the wild, wild west out there. So, yeah. So, Chris, where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the low end, or should we just go right to the psycho?
I think we should start at the low end. That's, low end. More attainable.
And to tease, we'll talk about the Jeep 392 and Bronco Raptor later. I have spent time with both of them recently. But for the low end, and it's kind of comical because the low end of reasonable new vehicles to get into something with all-wheel drive and ground clearance where you can take it not just to, you know, the start of a hiking trail, but actually like down a trail that's a 2 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10 versus, you know, fire road. The options are interesting. It's changed a lot over the last few years. So we have Subaru Crosstrek, right?
And so you're basically starting at like what, 35,000?
No. Let's start lower. Let's start at 25. And for the listeners, Chris and I have prepared exactly nothing for this. So
you think there are new vehicles available for $25,000?
What does the Subaru Crosstrek start at?
I don't know.
So $24,995. There we go. Right on the money. The Crosstrek does unfortunately have a CVT, but it does also have ground clearance. It has Subaru's symmetrical all-wheel drive, and it's just a good car. So we're more in the overland category here, obviously. This isn't
right
off-roader, low-range kind of stuff. And it's the same thing with the Forester for 26 and change. You know, both have ground clearance that would, like, make a Jeep from 20 years ago cringe. And they're good and comfortable and safe, reliable cars, but it's... they're limited, like that's the catch. So in the 25 to 30 range, there's Chris always likes to joke that. Just to set the record straight, Chris always likes to joke that 50 is the new 35.
100%, yeah, that's not wrong.
So things and 35, the average price of a new car was over 48 the last time that it was clocked, and 35 is thus low. And if you go down to like 25, that's kind of the equivalent of what like in $17,000 or $16,000 car was 7 years ago. You know, like everything 2 years ago? Is just two years ago basically. So what did you have at this
so the 25 my, to 30? In this category would be the Ford Maverick.
Can you get an all-wheel drive Maverick in the 25 to 30 range? No, is that just
front-wheel drive? I don't know, but it starts at 22, so...
Okay.
With my zero research for this project.
Yeah, same. And the thing that people always also forget is that the mentality of you need all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive or, you know, low range and crazy low gearing to go off-road is is false. Like, there have been plenty of rear-wheel drive or front-wheel drive rally cars that have done fantastic off-road, and pre-runners, you know, two-wheel drive Baja pre-runners, like, they don't have four-driven wheels. So something like the Maverick, we always talk about, like, drive what you have, take what you have off-road. It's going to go further than you would ever expect. I think all of us do wish the Maverick was rear-wheel drive by nature, but it's front-wheel drive, and even getting into a base all-wheel drive Maverick is a great, great, great place to be.
So a base all-wheel drive Maverick is 23.4.
That's crazy. That's...
it's an XL, but like 23.4.
And it's probably got more nice shit in it than the $23,000 Colorado had in 2015. Which in 2015, the $23,000 Colorado was probably a rear-wheel drive, extended cab, four-cylinder, you know? So we've come a long way. And some of it is by proxy of technology. Like, the Maverick obviously is an all-wheel drive system with a whole bunch of computer stuff that's telling it where and when to send power versus, you know, mechanical viscous couplings and whatnot that actually shift the power. But it's, yeah, this, the thing is, like, when we talk about going off-road, it's, for most people, with the exception of some, like, we had Tim and Kelsey on, and they off-road for a living, you know? Like, they take their truck, their 200 series, and they literally use it to go deep into the woods to go mapping. But for most of the population, going off-road is a hobby or a pastime. And that means that there's a heightened price associated with it. And that's kind of just the nature of things, you know?
Yeah. Like,
that's like a normal sneaker versus a specialized running sneaker. There's a price difference. And that's what we experience in the world of automobiles. So $20,000 to $35,000 even is really tough price to deal with new, now that inflation has kicked the economy in the balls.
So and when we were down at 25, it is super tight down there, and that's why, like, Maverick was a good one. Crosstrek, yep. Outback, all of those I think are very apt selections. When you go up to 35, though, Chevy Colorado starts to come into play. It's not going to be the nice one,
yep.
But Chevy Colorado's there. Maverick is obviously still in play at the higher trim levels.
Yep.
Nissan Frontier is listed as starting at $30,500.
Right. So let's cut it off. Let's do 30 to 45, because that brings a whole different ballgame with it. So you can get an FX4.
We still have some options down low that we haven't discussed yet.
How low?
27.9 would be a Hyundai Santa Cruz.
Okay. Would
I? What's weird is I've seen more Santa Cruz lately than Mavericks. Part of that is the Santa Cruz is a very unique vehicle. I'm definitely going to notice it.
Yes,
but I've seen more of them lately than Mavericks.
I don't think I've seen more than 5 Santa Cruz around here.
So Ford Ranger still comes in at 28.
Okay.
Tacomas are listed the base price at 30.
Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Those Tacomas don't exist. Those are special order fleet vehicles.
Right. Well, and then we get into work levels of F-150s are supposed to be at 32. Market average supposedly is at 30. I'm sorry, starting at 33. Silverado 1500s, 32.
For the sake of our conversation, though, like, nobody, and by nobody, I don't mean blanket statement nobody, I mean the greater nobody, is taking a two-wheel drive single cab, long bed, work truck.
I want to now.
F-150 all like overlanding. That's, yeah, I want to too. I want, you know, like a perfect spec, you know, Ram 2500 Power Wagon, single cab, long bed. Ideal. That's ideal. But that's not what people buy.
Right.
So that also makes this price bracket we're talking about, 25 to 40, extremely difficult to discuss new because things have gotten so expensive. You know, totally. For reference, what year is it? 2023? I'm just looking up some numbers. So in 2018, I bought a 4Runner TRD off-road with a couple options. It had an MSRP of like 41, and I paid like 36.5 for it because that was when you could negotiate. And right now, the same exact vehicle with the only change being it has like auto braking and a slightly nicer touchscreen, identical otherwise, is almost $47,000. You know,
what?
So 41 versus 47. So 5 years, it's gone up $6,000 and they haven't changed fuck all.
Right.
So we're talking difficult monetary value on the new front. But if you really want to go for the bargain stuff, you can get a new Bronco. You can get a new Wrangler. You can get a new Gladiator. There's other stuff. You know, there's the RAV4 Adventure and also TRD off-road. But for the overlander, you're probably best off in this price range. Hang on. Before I say it, I want to make sure that I actually am undercutting it. Sorry, listeners. Yeah, $39,960 Subaru Outback Wilderness. That is a great overlander. Bunch of 9.5 inches of ground clearance. That's more than a Wrangler, you know, for $39,000. Because a Rubicon at this point is
pricey.
It's not good. It's 47 to get in the door for a Rubicon. You can get a Sport S Jeep Wrangler for 37, but 47 for a Rubicon for 2024. And even to get into a good 4Runner, you're talking 41 to 45, you know, with the rear locker. So, and we're also in a big transition period. I don't know if you want to talk about this at all. New Tacoma, you know, the new Colorado and Canyon have also landed. What else?
Well, wasn't it last year was the new Pilot? 2023 came out with a new Pilot.
New Pilot, Trail Sport.
Yep.
Which will probably... So there's a new Pilot Trail Sport, which is very good, but I think that's almost 50. I think that's like 48 or 49 and change.
Yeah.
I saw one of those recently in the blue that was the press vehicle color, like the media launch color.
And it looks Sonic blue, but it's like good. Almost kind of grayish. Yeah,
it looks good, you know. And but then if you're gonna go like Pilot Trail Sport, you're also talking like Nissan Rock Creek.
Yep,
you know.
I mean, and they're available. Why not?
Yeah, and then Chevy just announced the Z71.
The Blazer.
Well,
the
Traverse. Brain fort. No, Traverse. Yes, the Z71 version. New Traverse.
The one we were talking about. One of them.
We were talking about that the other day with that crazy C-biller. But, yeah. So,
once you start to get 40 to 50, you do start to get into the lower end of Super Duties.
No. Super Duty that is actually touching the earth is priced in the 40 to 50 range.
Brand new.
No chance.
Right.
No chance.
We should have set more ground rules before we started this.
Yeah, probably.
Because you were, I feel like we started this going like, all right, cool, MSRP. And that now very quickly you're like, yeah, but you can't get it for that. So we're kind of waffling our line.
No. I'm not saying you can't get it. If you walk into a Ford dealer and order a vehicle, you can get it delivered eventually at that price. What I'm saying is that there are no orders being placed by dealers or by customers for a $40,000 to $50,000 Super Duty. Because people looking for that kind of vehicle aren't looking for bench front and rear seats, you know? They're not looking for cloth. They're not looking for, you know, manual mirrors and that kind of stuff. Like, it's the while you're in there, you know? Like, okay, well, I need a big truck for my lifestyle. So I'm going to get an F-250 Super Duty with the, what is it now, the 6.7 power stroke?
Sure. I literally know nothing about Super Duties.
Right. So you're either going to step up to a Tremor or an FX4 at minimum, and you're going to get, you know, bucket seats up front, and you're going to get the big screen and leather and a sunroof. And the next thing you know, it's like $77,000. But people, at least in my experience and from my knowledge and reading and whatnot, there's not much of a middle ground. It's like you literally either buy no options or you go for it.
We were talking about $45,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So available near me, 2023 Super Duty XL long bed, four-wheel drive.
Okay.
$45,628.
Is it a no option truck? Cloth, like 17? Exactly.
It's got 11 miles on it. It's got a 6.8 liter V8 gasoline.
Okay. So that's the, oh God, that, what is that thing called?
So I've got another one.
Great name. Something Zilla. Godzilla? Is it Godzilla?
For that 6.8 liter V8?
It's Godzilla. That's what they call it. Yep. Yep.
And that was a quad cab truck too. For 45.
Okay, so for comparison's sake, the all, quote unquote, all new Colorado ZR2 is 46.8.
Joel said Godzilla is a GTR, not a truck. You are correct, Joel. You're not wrong. Joel, Ford definitely calls their engine that too.
Yeah. Hi, Joel.
Later tonight, I am going to watch a Godzilla movie now. Because they're incredibly dumb and I don't have to use my brain.
Later this week, I am going to build a multiple thousand horsepower GTR on Forza Horizon 5.
Okay.
Not being in school means I can play Forza for like 10 minutes a day. It's great. So, yeah, this price range, the 40 to 50 is...
It's wild.
Wild. Because it's as cheap as a Gladiator with effectively nothing on it, and it's as nice as like a ZR2 or, you know, upcoming Ranger Raptor. Do we know what the MSRP is on that?
No, not yet.
Well, Google tells me it's 55. Okay, so it's 55, and it's going to go, you know, for 10 over for a year. But if 40 to 50 is the new 30 to 40. And
it's
like warfare. You know, if you go ahead.
just using the online listing tool that I'm using for 23 and 24 model years of pickup trucks, the filter of the price, just how far we've gone, starts at 25, and then the far right side says 150 plus. Oof. So this is just trucks near me. New Maverick was 27, so that's still pretty close.
Did you, you haven't driven a Maverick? Did you drive it at Mama?
Yeah, I drove one. I liked it. So the Maverick and the Santa Cruz are very similar to me. And like the Santa Cruz is slightly more expensive. It is more expensive.
It's much more expensive.
I personally liked the interior of the Santa Cruz better because the Maverick that I was in felt very cheap and plasticky. The touch points were nicer.
It's based on a nicer vehicle.
Right. But spacious-wise and other amenities, like obviously sink I'm comfortable with, but like the Maverick cab was great. Like it just for the price point was a little tinny. Like it didn't feel substantial enough to me. But it was good.
Consistent with Ford.
People are buying them like hotcakes.
Yeah, there was a time where you literally couldn't get one if you wanted one.
So right, when I bring my bottom up to 50.
Yep.
All kinds of pickup trucks.
Yeah, let's jump to 50 to 75. That's a price range where it's a reach, but for a lot of people it's also attainable. So
much money.
It's a fuck ton of money. It's more than I've ever spent on a vehicle by a lot.
So now you're in Grand Cherokee land.
Yeah. Grand Cherokee Trailhawk. Trailhawk.
Power just about wagon. Every Wrangler you can think of.
Yes.
And the trim with you wanted in will be 50 to 75, exception of 392.
Exception of 392. Yeah. 4xE, any 4xE you want, Rubicon X, the new 2024 Rubicon X.
And I think the Gladiators fit in there too.
How? Gladiator.
What?
Any Gladiator, Mojave, Rubicon Gladiator, all in there. We just mentioned the.
The Mojave one was the one I was thinking of. I couldn't remember how much that would be. Same
price as the Rubicon. Your pick.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's deliberate. It's what version of Gladiator do you want? And same price, which I think is great. That's the way it should be, you know?
Which the Mojave one should, like, that's the one that has had suspension moved and different shocks. And yes, you think it would be. They
moved the axle forward and widened the track.
Yeah, but same price?
Same price. But I think that's
backwards.
Really?
I think so. They lengthened it. I don't think they shortened it.
If they lengthened it, then the axle would move forwards.
I thought the rear axle is the one that moved. Is it the front? The
front. It's front. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I should know this.
So, according to Jeep's website, employee pricing for all Gladiators, $47,300 for the Mojave.
And for the Rubicon.
Yep. And the Overland?
That's a Sahara with a whole bunch of, like, it's got like full-time four-wheel drive and leather in places that a Jeep doesn't. No vehicle needs leather.
Who do we know who had access to a Mojave? Was it Camille? Didn't he have a buddy who bought one?
Still don't know.
It's growing on me.
But, okay. So this price range, so let's keep going. So Power Wagon, right? Yep.
None have come up on my searches yet, but yeah.
Yeah, 60, yeah, 70 for Power Wagon. The ZR2 Silverado.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be close to that.
Which?
The one I drove was definitely...
Yeah, 70. Right about 70 for the ZR2 Silverado, which means...
Ford Expedition... What is their trim level called?
Timberline.
Timberline, that's what it was.
Yeah, don't buy that. Consumer pro tip, don't buy that.
Robbie liked it.
Which, in all fairness, you can also get a Z71 Suburban in the same price range, which...
Just a, you can potentially get a Wagoneer down at the very... I say it's the bottom end of the Wagoneer line, but it's the top end of our price point right now. Like high 60s.
The Jeep Wagoneer starts at 63 for the Wagoneer. Wow. We really prepared terribly. 61 for the Wagoneer to get into a base Wagoneer.
Yeah.
Which...
But so AT4 Yukon Z71.
Oh, it's great. AT4 Tahoe's. Yukon, the AT4 Yukon that I drove a couple years ago was great. It was such a good truck. Man, I still think about that. And I still think if I could have that AT4 Yukon with the 3-liter diesel, the Baby Max. Okay. Oh my God. That's in my mind, that is perfect. Even in white. Like, the one I had was white and, like, oh, it's great. God, it's so good. So, what else we have? We obviously, we said ZR2 and the AT4X Canyon.
Is
Ranger,
it?
Ranger Raptor.
I was going to say, Bronco Raptor was low 70s.
83 to start.
For yours?
The Bronco Raptor starts at 83. I know this because I've been looking at the window sticker for the one I'm driving right now.
Right?
Yeah, but you can get a Bronco basically with every other Sasquatch and all that shit.
Yeah, the one I drove was a,
easy.
The one I drove was a 2022, and so it was 68.5.
Okay, yeah, the Bronco Raptor now starts at a lot.
80. Yeah. A lot. That I'm gonna sucks. Bring up
Bronco Raptor MSRP 80. Well, it says 86, but I think the one I have is starts at 83. And the one I am currently driving is $96,000.
Right. Because they give the fancy ones to the press people.
Yeah, it's not good. What else do we have in Jeep land? You can basically get any Jeep that's not a 392 for under 75.
So Silverado ZR2 AEV Bison is 82.9.
We're talking under 75 here.
Right. I'm just you had mentioned Silverado ZR2s.
So well, if we're talking predictive numbers, we could say GX550, the new Lancruiser Prado.
Lancruisers.
And the same thing for the J250, the Lancruiser that we'll have this time next year, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we should. It's a 2024, so it'll theoretically be in our hands by the spring. And those are biggies. Those are probably... I do think that the GX and the 250 are going to kind of steer the ship for what happens with Jeep and Ford, and if Chevy is actually even thinking about a K5 resurrection of some sort, then
God, I hope they are.
I think everybody hopes. I think everybody wishes that Chevy could go back in time and undo putting the Blazer name on what they put the Blazer name on.
I know a gentleman who's got like a 70 to 72 K5, and there's part of my brain that's always like, I need to get a hold of that.
Yeah, they're extremely timeless vehicles.
Yeah, it's such a good look.
You know what's not timeless? the current Blazer.
I can't even picture it in my own head.
It's yeah, that is, and that's the problem. Like, okay, so to not, you know, dunk on Chevy or anything, but I think the 250 Land Cruiser and the GX550, the reception, the reliability, and the actual cultural off-road impact of these will have some bearing on where the Bronco, the Wrangler, any prospective K5 quote unquote Blazer resurrection goes. And you know, we haven't had any conclusive decision on where the 4Runner goes.
Right. That'll be coming up.
Right.
So, no, you're good. I was going to move us on.
No, I was just going to say, I think that the 4Runner will be based on the Tacoma platform. And the Tacoma is going to be in this 50 to 75 range for the Tierney Pro, the Trail Hunter, those psychotic suspension seats are going to be $5,000 in of themselves. I'm willing to bet you that I've owned 5 vehicles that cost less than those seats alone.
Probably.
So, if the 4Runner is on the Tacoma platform, we have a couple of interesting things. First of all, there's still a manual transmission in Tacoma.
Yep.
The Bronco, for the first time ever, there's a Bronco and a Wrangler concurrent with a Tacoma that will, or the first time since 1994, that we could see a manual transmission 4Runner.
This is where I'm not good as a car guy, because I could give two shits about a manual transmission anything. I just don't care anymore.
I care conceptually, like on a premise.
I don't want to drive them.
No, and like the manual Jeep is worse than the auto Jeep, and the manual Bronco is worse than the auto Bronco. And it's great that they exist, and I want them to exist, and I'll always be happy that they exist.
Right.
I'd rather have the auto, personally, right, because off-roading the manual transmission, this is total sacrilege, but it's fucking terrible if you're like just like leaning on the clutch rock crawling. It's terrible.
Dude, that was my 2004 TJ.
Yeah.
It was a manual transmission Jeep. And it was so much fun in the sand and whatever, but like rush hour traffic jam in Orlando for a solid hour, popping the clutch every 3 to 10 seconds. It's miserable.
Well, you could just say Orlando and miserable be the blanket statement.
Right.
I guess.
Dude, my kid asked, when is the Cybertruck coming to dealers on our YouTube stream? And I want to throw something at him now.
You would be forgiven. There would be no CPS repercussions if you did throw something at him.
Yeah, there would.
Which kid? Which kid?
It's 2.0. It's the second one.
He'll probably be in college.
Dude, I think they're shipping now. I keep seeing trucks with them.
Bullshit.
Have you not? Oh my gosh, where have I been seeing these things?
The Tesla Facebook pages?
No. Fair. It's actual like news people I've seen taking pictures with Cybertrucks on like delivery vehicles.
I haven't seen any of this, given I don't actively avoid the media, but
right. I mean finding a reliable news source right now is not super handy for what I searched.
It's probably the least important thing in the news in the world right now.
Right?
War,
John, we love it.
Fire.
John asked, what do you think of the 2024 Land Cruiser Prado Hybrid coming to the States? We love it. Super fan.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't driven it. We haven't seen it. We haven't touched it. We haven't been in the same room as it.
But coming in at 55K potentially is just wild.
Yeah. 55 for something that gets... So also, this was in the off-road news this week. Toyota had the... There was something on the website that said 27 miles per gallon projected, and they took that down.
Okay.
But still, if it gets 21 combined, right? Or 20.
Right.
If it gets 20 miles per gallon combined of regular gas, the outgoing Land Cruiser, I had a Heritage Edition for a week, and I got like, I don't think I got 13, you know? So right. If we can see 20 and have the off-road capability of something.
You say it was listed at 27?
So Toyota had on their website 27 combined.
Ross, I would place a deposit immediately if that's actually even close to true.
Dude, you don't have to convince me. If they had 27 combined and the reliability was 90% of what it is on the, you know, the 460s, the 470s, and the 200s and whatnot, I'd be on board too. But they apparently pulled that number and that block of copy from the website. So it's kind of like, was it a misprint? Because
right,
it could be 17, you know, because the GX 550.
If it's 17, that's atrocious. Like, this, like, just give us a V8 back. Like,
so, all right. So, this was also a big point of contention because the GX 550, they said average is 17. And
is that the twin turbo V6 version?
The 550 is only the twin turbo V6.
Right. So, the hybrid four cylinder Land Cruiser is going to get the. It better get better than 17.
Given the tire size on the... Got
it. Here's where my brain goes on this is, and I can't remember which car magazine had it, but one of them had a long-term Toyota Sienna minivan,
mm-hmm.
all-wheel drive, four-cylinder mm-hmm. hybrid, right?
Yep.
Not the most aerodynamic shape, but it's not terrible.
There's
worse. And over the year, combined in an all-wheel drive van... It was 32.9 miles to the gallon.
That's great.
So, regular, and that's
on probably 87, which is really 85.
Right. 87 octane. And through multiple journalists testing, using it family road trips, whatever, throughout the year, 32.9.
Actual calculated, not computer indicated. That's great fuel economy.
So, but they were $55,000. At the time, I'm like, that's a lot of money for a Sienna minivan. I don't want to spend $55,000 on a minivan.
We were talking about you looking for a hybrid Sienna.
Right. But if I can get a Land Cruiser with a turbo four-cylinder hybrid, I'm getting the powertrain I want. I'm getting the drive system mm-hmm. I want. I'm getting the name I want for the same price point and potentially 27 miles to the gallon. Homie, I don't buy new vehicles. I'd be finding a way to place an order.
Yeah, it's a wait and see, you know. And
God, it better be that good.
I don't think it will be. And unfortunately, also the new Tundra hybrid a lot, and there was an article about this on Car and Driver today. A lot of people are getting worse gas mileage by a fair margin. And, you know, the EPA cycle is an idealized cycle. And
right.
Most vehicles get worse than the EPA rating, and there have been plenty of class action lawsuits about this. And there's miles per gallon. There's a Tesla class action lawsuit about this right now, even though it's, you know, battery juices.
Is that the thing that you and Emmy were talking about? Was it discretion department or something like?
Diversion department.
That's what
where people are getting into their car and it says, and these numbers are hypothetical. He says 350 miles, you know, to depletion. And then they drive 150 miles. And when they get there with 150 miles left, it only says 75. Then it says, surprisingly says like, oh, you only have 75. And there actually is less less range than Tesla said there should and would be. But that's beside the point. I don't think the Land Cruiser is getting 27. I think that was a drastic,
22 would be great.
Dude, 22, again, I like the
in heritage. Combined driving, like if we're talking like real world city driving, 22.
Man, given, I most of my GX driving is in city. But even on trips, I'm happy when I average 15 or 16, you know.
On trips? Oh, I'd be pissed on a trip if that's what I was getting.
Big tires and, you know, heavy truck. And like, realistically, like, I don't highway it almost ever, except for, like, literally going to take it into the woods.
Well, that's where the Suburban gets, like, 13 to 15 around town.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the highway, you can potentially see 17, 18 is a piece of cake, 19, 20. And I've seen 22 for a brief amount of time downhill with the wind behind me.
That's a cylinder deactivation truck, right?
Yes.
Yeah, those are GM figured that shit out, like with the actual gearing and whatnot on those heavy trucks. Like you can pull out pretty good mileage on those things.
It doesn't deactivate when you're at normal modern highway speeds now. 70, 75, 80, it almost never, like, it's only on like a true long downhill.
Really?
Yeah. It's staying in the gear.
So like a lot of the GM 8-cylinder trucks I've tested shut off 4 cylinders like when I'm just like cruising. Not cruise control. I don't like cruise control. Don't use it. But normal highway driving at a 72 mile per hour flat, it'll shut off 4 cylinders.
Yeah, it's just never flat here, and it's windy as shit. So
I think probably the wind.
The wind. You're always pushing some kind of sail.
Okay, let's talk 75 to 100, and then we should probably call it. So speaking
going all the way up to 90.
Speaking of air conditioning, I've been spending time with this Bronco Raptor, and when it does the what's it called? Automatic shut off at a stoplight. What is that called? Stop start?
Start stop.
Yeah. Start stop, stop. Stop start. When it does that at a stoplight, the air conditioning basically turns to heat.
Yeah.
And I know Ford is not going to be happy hearing me say this, but I don't want to. Just, you know, I'm calling it the way it is. Like the AC set at 70 or 68 degrees when I come to a stoplight and it shuts the engine off and the AC is still going is fucking blowing heat, which is not great.
But that's more, I always turn that button off because like whatever rental car I'm in that has it, luckily the Suburban doesn't have it, but like, and everything else I own is too old to have it.
Yeah, we don't have one that has it. But yeah, no, I usually turn it off if I'm, you know, spending like a lot of time or a long time. But around town, like, there's no reason to shut it off. So anyways, Bronco Raptor falls into this price range. It starts at 83 or 85 or something. The one I've been testing is 96. And
Jesus.
This is literally overlapping with the Wrangler 392 that I was testing, which I should have had this open, and I'm a terrible person for not having podcast material ready. But in my defense, I had one computer decide it didn't want to be part of the podcast tonight, and now I am going to my second Gmail account of the hour. Oh, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? God, my internet and my computers today are just, this is what happens when you have two computers. The computer I'm recording on right now is from 2013. And the computer that I was trying to record on is from, I think, 2017. So
feels slightly better.
Less bad.
Less bad, yeah.
My newest computer graduated high school only like a year and a half into Trump's first and only hopeful term. Anyways, before we derail this, but we can ask completely.
Yeah, and you're Wrangler out there, 392,
buddy. Base price of the Wrangler 392 that I was 87.6, and the one that I tested was 95.9, which is $300 less than the Bronco Raptor that is parked in my driveway right now. And obviously the two exist for very different purposes. You don't buy a Bronco Raptor at the same width as a Hummer H1 for tight, narrow, you know, woods crawling. And you don't buy a Jeep 392 for high-speed Baja stuff. You know, they are different vehicles for different end goals. Both have their merits. I think in a day-to-day world where the actual off-road capability isn't a factor and you're just using it as your, you know, around town vehicle, like dropping off child at daycare, as I did, the Wrangler feels more premium and also, and I said this to my wife, who literally is an ear doctor, and, you know, multiple people in my world who are deeply invested in the music industry. But the difference between the Jeep 392 and the Bronco Raptor really gave me an appreciation for how much emphasis I put on the sound and the audio and the noise experience of a vehicle. You know, the 6.4, the 392 in the Jeep, with the way the exhaust is routed on this thing, I think that's the best the 392 has ever sounded. And the Bronco, the 3-liter forced induction, the turbo V6, it's a V6, right? It's a V6, not a straight.
Yes.
The best sound that it makes is it does a little turbo whooshy noise, but otherwise the best noise it makes is when it's off. But it's, you know, they're not, it's not fair to compare them. They're not for the same, like, it's fair to compare them because the realistically, like, 95% of them will never touch dirt.
Yep.
But they're not. It's like comparing a freaking, you know, Hellcat and, like, you know, a GT3. Like, they have decided, or scratch that, a ZL1 1LE and a GT3. You know, they have really different purposes for being. But yeah, I don't want to, let's call it there on talking about those.
Okay. The last ones at the peak for me are just Raptor R and TRX.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 100 grand plus. After 100 grand for your factory off-roaders, you're really talking Raptor R, TRX, G-Wagon. that's really it. There's really not much else to get. We didn't talk Ineos Grenadier.
I don't know how to say that word.
Well, that exists in the price bracket we just talked about. Well, let's skip that.
So it's like upper 70s to 80s?
I think it starts around 80. And it's the B58 BMW engine. But
I don't want that.
I've never... I mean, great engine. Actually, really deeply reliable engine. But have fun with your dealer experience, because there is no dealer to have an experience at.
Yep.
Raptor R versus TRX. Did you drive both?
Yeah, I did. I haven't driven TRX off-road. Again, like, particular environments. My only TRX experience was on tiny roads in Wisconsin, and then that Ford Stid Trail that they've shared that video so many times. That truck does not belong there. and then Raptor R was similar place, but there was more opportunity to kind of open it up there. I prefer the Raptor R because I don't need a constant supercharged line. The Raptor R to me is a little more understated.
Yeah, the blower one and the TRX is the most offensive of any Hellcat product.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I'm glad it exists for some people, but it's not my cup of tea. So,
it's
that being said, I'm going to want blow off noise if I get a Land Cruiser with a turbo.
Oh yeah, 100%. Right, like just a huge wastegate on it. Oh my god. Dude, it's going to be like the fucking 1 and 2 JZ trucks that people have swapped overseas. Except
I love that like stuff.
300 horsepower less. But yeah, the Raptor R and the TRX are... And I literally... Go on Hooniverse.com and read my review of the Raptor R. It just went up recently. And they are two completely different trucks. Like,
yep.
The Raptor R, the TRX is just like the heavyweight, like, fuck you in your face. Always. Well, that's not good. My Mac charger just fell out and it is almost untouchably hot. So, I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. Also, you can see my.
We can wrap this up soon, just so.
The
TRX, don't start a fire.
The TRX is a heavyweight. It's just always pissed off and it's always blower on and it feels heavy. Did you realize that? It always feels heavy. Everything about it is heavy. The Raptor R is like playful almost comparatively, and it has two wheel drive, which the TRX doesn't. Which,
yeah, I
between the two,
like, I can't afford either one, but I'd lean Raptor R.
Both were, and you're going to laugh because housing prices, but both were more than the down payment of my house.
Mine too? You said more than, right?
Yeah, more than.
Yeah, it was more than mine too.
by a factor of how much is
the, yeah yours is way it, closer to the actual price of them than mine was. Yes.
That's where the joke comes in. Kill me.
Sorry, you left me a dad joke opening there. It's like a technicality.
Hi, down payment, I'm dad.
Oh, all right, we've gone quite a while, and I know Joel stuck with us for a while too, and Joel's clearly there. I need to talk to my kid who's talking to me in the comments of our YouTube video.
He's still asking Cybertruck questions?
No, I'm sure that was his uncle who he's with right now, busting my chops too.
Tell
he knows
Joel
I can't stand that
we
stuff.
Need to, I don't even need to tell Joel. Joel can hear me.
I was going to say, you can tell Joel.
Joel, I know we're a day apart, but let's record a show.
He said still here, yeah. Joel, I'm going to send you an email. We're going to talk. Yeah,
let's do it. We'll drink Foster's together.
I don't think Joel will appreciate that. That's the Americanized version of Australian beer. That's not
good because it's fucking terrible. And I say that lovingly. He
said, please, no.
I say that lovingly, Joel. We love you. Foster's is horrendous.
That's like when my parents went to Ireland and they were like, oh, everyone just drinks Guinness, right? And they were like, no, all the teenagers drink like Bud Light and Miller Light and whatever, because they want to act like they're in America, even though they're in Ireland. So like,
did you see the pictures?
And even then, like, yeah, just Smithwick's, just, yeah.
The pictures of Kid Rock drinking Bud Light Tall Boys. Oh my God.
Was that like, recent?
Like within the last few days, he put out this whole big thing about, you know, anti-Bud Light because Budweiser did all that pro. And you know where I'm going.
Yep.
Joel, welcome to American politics. And
I'm sure he's aware. All right. I'll wrap the show.
It's race week, by the way.
It's what?
Race week.
What week? Race week.
One is back.
I was hearing you say Greece week, and I was like, they're in Belgium. What are you talking about?
Well, if you're in Greece, it's always Greece. The Netherlands. It's always Greece week if you're in Greece.
Well, I went. It's hot as fuck here. I've been super greasy. So I like how Joel gave me no sympathy, too. I even did the non-US version of the temp chart. He goes, yeah, that's like summer down here. And I was like, God damn it, Joel. Love you, buddy.
It's winter down there, and it's basically the same time.
I lost my show notes that I was going to close the show with. So,
you know how it goes.
Follow Hooniverse on Instagram. You can read what Ross writes on the website. I haven't written anything in months other than posting podcast episodes. Ross is no, not like the one from Friends, and I'm at Overling Dad. And we did a show.
Yep. Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Ross. Thanks, Joel. I always thank the guests, and I was like, who am I going to thank? It's just Ross and me. Thanks, Ross.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, man.